Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. As you guys know, I'm just a channeler of everything that's being downloaded through me. So essentially, I'm a vessel who's teaching these manifestation practices. I have the gift of reading energetics. However, I only lead with what I'm told, for lack of a better word. So what came through to me is that a deeper way to support you guys on this podcast, because not only is this manifestation practice about expanding, it's also about unblocking. And so the download that came through was to start sharing the universal blocks that I'm seeing come up both within my private practice, within my own life, my team's life, and then within the community, all of you guys that are mentioning in DMs and the Facebook group. And so a big one that I want to talk about today briefly before we get into this excellent episode is guilt. I see guilt blocking so many of my clients. And as everybody knows who's been tuning in, or if you're new to tuning in, the way that we even build up blocks, I like to say it's like an onion. We are born with this incredibly individual, authentic, magnetic self. That's why I don't prescribe to things like labels, molds, or boxes. Because if we really get down into our true, authentic, energetic essence, it's very pure. It's what we always hear in spirituality that can be annoying if we haven't ever experienced it, but it's the oneness, the consciousness, and the love. And then through society, it's through labels, shame primarily, pain and programming, we tend to build up this onion that's like the ego shell. And those are called our blocks. They're what we lead with to present in the world to survive and be safe. Or they're what we think we have to be loved. You know, an example of that would be society tells you if you do A, B, C, and D, you'll be successful and loved, although it's completely different than what your authentic essence actually came onto this planet to be and do. So a big systemic issue around shame is guilt. And I'm going to say something that philosophically is a really hard pill to swallow when it comes to the energetics of manifestation. There's no such thing as right or wrong. In fact, pure manifestation energy and motion is the complete neutral balance between everything. And so examples of that would be the exact balance between masculine and feminine, that energy, the exact balance between light and dark, between your shadow and your highest self, that balance of neutrality in between. So anything extremely on one side or the other is actually manifestation energy out of motion. That's when we tend to get earthquaked. So really big rock bottoms will come, or really big things will happen to shift us back into that neutral energy. The best astrological sign that really inhabits this energy, they're also usually primarily the quickest manifestors, tend to be Aries. That's the sun sign, or the particular energy of manifestation and motion. And if you look at a lot of Aries, they have one foot really deeply in the masculine, one foot in the feminine. They're very uninhibited. They go. They're that total balance of neutrality, energy, and motion. So I only bring that up because I want to talk about guilt, how that can be a massive block. I see it blocking a lot of people financially, especially, and in love. An example of this would be a client of mine who was with her husband of 16 years. He became very successful. He wasn't very present at home anymore. She's a dreamer and a lover, and therefore she started to take interest and affection from this outside entity that she was working with. And she ended up not having a full affair with him, but whatever, kissing, yada, yada. That's a whole nother conversation about blocks of why we seek exterior validation. So I'm going to save that for another time. But just getting back to guilt. So her husband did find out about it. He asked her for a divorce. And now financially for her, she's always blocked, or she has been always blocked financially. Little bits will come in, but not the full amount, because she hasn't totally accepted or forgiven herself. She's still continuing to shame and punish herself. And that will block us. And that's just one example. Guilt can come from so many forms. For me, a great example of this that came up recently doing my personal work. I do the exact same workshops. I'll get into that, that you guys do. And for me, guilt was really affecting me. I had this belief system, this shadow that I was bad. There's this, you know, and so I would attract shame into my life because I was still shaming myself for being bad. And when I really did the work on that, my mother, some of you guys may know, is an alcoholic, and she comes from a very alcoholic family and hasn't healed her wound. She's a beautiful person, but, you know, she's still struggling with that. When I was young, I moved to Los Angeles to follow my dreams, and therefore I left my two younger brothers. I felt like I left them alone in that environment. And so I felt so bad for that, so guilty that I chose the selfishness of myself and moving forward to have a better life, to better my life, so therefore I could be better expanders for them and help them in the future. I know all of that logically now, but the subconscious belief that was still rooted in there is that I was bad, that I was selfish, shameful, bad. And then when I figured that out and I unlocked it, a lot of things started to come through. So guilt can, and it's usually a lot of financial things, a lot of love things, because it's us not loving ourselves or not feeling on a subconscious level that we're deserving of money because we're inherently bad. So this whole process of manifestation is about getting back into your true, authentic, worthy, unique, deserving self that you were born with, and that the world built up this onion, this ego shell around you. So what I'd really like you guys to focus on is guilt right now for anybody that this is resonating with. I mean, I think this can resonate with anyone on the planet, because there is certainly some form of guilt living in most people's subconscious mind that is blocking them from manifestation. If you're just tuning in now, or if you've been teetering on how would I go about this, a great place would be to start with the DRE, shadow, or reparenting. Those three workshops down below in our site, you can find them right on the homepage. They're a great, fantastic place to start with that. Also, the roadmap of integrated is a beautiful way that will take you through all three of those things very specifically. And if you have the intention that I want to look at my guilt when you're going through it, boy, will you have a powerful, very powerful experience with it. Somebody on our team just fully went through the integrated and shadow workshop, and her whole life kind of just, I like to say that everything shedded that was no longer serving her. And then magical things started to happen. She manifested a new client in Australia. She then was in Australia shooting, you know, really, really beautiful stuff. And I myself have been going through some really cool forms of shedding lately. And a lot of beautiful things have been coming through. So I really encourage you to look at guilt. Let those words resonate with you, sit with you, and enjoy those workshops as you're going through them. Definitely. Also connect with the Facebook group for more support. Today's guest, Deborah Handkamp, is one of my favorite healers I've ever worked with. She totally floored me. In fact, I happened to go to her on a whim, and in the session, it was just so profound. Before I get into that, let me tell you about her. She is a seeress, meaning she was born with the gift of being able to see auras and symbols. So anybody's aura and symbol, she also sees them in objects as well. And she did an 8-year apprenticeship under a shaman in the Amazon. So not only is she a seeress, she's also a shaman as well. And her sessions are pretty profound because they include many of her gifts and also many of the teachings she's absorbed through the healing arts. And on top of it, she also looks into your aura and tells you what's going on presently at that time. One of the most interesting things I remember her telling me, because I tend to have 1,000 questions for her because I can't see auras and I want to know so much about it, that objects actually hold auras. So when we project intentions and feelings and objects, they tend to emit and present with these colors. One of the most fascinating ones, she said, is that when she was touring around the Statue of Liberty, she could see bright yellow around it, which projected hope and joy. So in my personal session with her, the very first one, I've had a couple, I went to go talk to her about a spirit baby, because many of you know I've been trying to bring a child into the world. And she saw the baby right away, and she had some really fascinating and interesting things to communicate that nobody else would have known and were absolutely spot on. So any client I ever have that is looking to bring a child into the world, she is always my first referral. You'll find her under the essentials on the blog, as well as the healers page. And I'm really excited for you to hear her story today. So without further ado, let's get into it and hear how she got to where she is, which is non-linear, unexpected, and it's the true underdog turning into a swan story. So sit back and tune in. So we have Deborah, Mama Medicine, here, who is on the Expanded podcast joining us. And I'm going to start out asking you some pretty general questions, but first I want to get into what you do a little bit. And I tend to like the person to kind of introduce themselves more than it sounds a little less novice. So yeah. Can you tell us exactly what you do, which I've gotten to experience and it's so lovely.
So I do something called medicine readings, which is a modality that I created after being on a spiritual path for almost 2 decades.
Wow.
Yeah. Spiritual counseling, spiritual healing, but my own take on it.
And then I'll go as far as to say who's gotten to experience Deborah's gifts, that she is a seeress as well. So she's able to see auras and read auras and the energy around you. And then she also studied for, it was 8 years, she apprenticed in the Amazon. And shaman's not the word that's even used.
Shaman is just like, I don't even know what it refers to anymore.
especially like in today's culture, like alchemist is another one of those words. So let's get into it. And then I'm sure we'll be looping in some of those gifts along the way. Can you tell us about your cultural background and upbringing?
Mm-hmm. I was raised in northeastern Connecticut in like the middle of the woods, and cultural background, I mean, I'm an American mutt, you know, so like my mom's side, my grandfather was Native American and English, I think, and my grandmother was Sicilian. On my dad's side, very, very Irish, you know.
All the things. Wow.
You know, and I grew up in a really just like very rural area, had a pretty difficult early life, like really had to know the shadow in order to step into the light.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've done so much of that heavy lifting along the way. What was that time, we all have it in our life, that you spent a year, a small time, whatever it was for you, on the floor crying?
There's so many of those.
I know, me too. Yeah.
Wow. I think that when there was two times that are coming to mind. One was when I was 19. I had already been living on my own for a couple of years at that point. And it was right before I just needed to leave like the whole East Coast for a little bit and go live in Vancouver.
Wow.
Yeah, so wow. It got like just so hard being in this area that I needed to just go like to a place where it was way easier to live and be sensitive and all of that. So I lived there for about a year.
And was that, did you, because for me, when I go to visit a space like that, mm-hmm. especially when I'm needing it as medicine,
yeah.
do you get the siren of the place or did you just literally know someone in Vancouver?
No, I literally was just like, I have to go to Vancouver.
You just knew. You're like, that's it. I'm going.
Like the islands there, like all of that.
Oh, and, it's so stunning.
And there was a yoga teacher training program that I wanted to do there. And I also went to school for makeup for film and television.
Wow.
There. So it was like a really like, you know, go learn, go live, go. And the friends that I made during that time, I still am friends with now, 16 years later.
Isn't that magic?
Yeah.
Wow. So it was medicine and it allowed you to explore and grow and
so much.
I have a question because I know so many people who are in this work and who are manifesting. A lot of them are wanting to move or leave a job. And I know that you were young, so there probably, you know, not a lot of strings were attached. But I know that you've picked up and gone so many times, may it be the Amazon mm-hmm. to another spot in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your tips for the person who knows medicinally they need to make that move? They're being called somewhere. How to kind of put that first step forward?
I'm a really big fan of having a minimal life, like mm-hmm. minimal things, minimal belongings. And so I think like just starting to like move the energy in your home of what do you really need and what do you really not need? Like, what are you still carrying that you don't need anymore physically?
Yeah.
And then what are you carrying that you don't need anymore mentally with narratives and constructs and then emotionally and then spiritually? And then by the time when you start doing that weeding out, by the time you're really ready to go somewhere, it's almost like you just walk out and go.
I love that. And for you, I feel like you're also, not only are you very spiritual and grounded, you're so incredibly, like, grounded is the biggest word. When I described you coming in girls, it was like, you're going to love her. Her energy is so pure and grounded. But you're also such a smart businesswoman at the same time as well. For you, how big have finances played a role in these moves of holding you back or pushing you forward?
Well, I think, and I was talking to you about this a little bit at the lunch break. So I don't know if it's just like Scorpio nature but I definitely like, I would classify myself, even though like I love business and the creative part of like growing things, putting it all together and all of that, I am and have always been a little bit financially idealistic.
Mm.
And then with the Scorpio nature, also incredibly impulsive, you know?
Totally.
So like impulse
and
moves.
And passionate.
Like impulse, like I'm traveling somewhere and I need to leave immediately.
Yes.
Like in impulse plane tickets, like,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So I right now am currently working on being way more financially stable mm-hmm. and like really focusing on, you know, like having a savings account and like all of those things that I didn't really ever pay attention to, didn't have anyone, you know, checking in to make sure that I was being good with finances. So,
absolutely. Which is so hard if you don't have that construct or modeling and
yeah,
you never inherited that.
No.
It's like, whoa, okay.
You just like figure it out,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, for me, like a few years ago, if I would have $100 in my checking account, I'd be like, awesome.
Yes. I have $100 to spend now.
Amazing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I do think like with moving to right now, the way I'm currently approaching it, because I do want to make another move,
yeah.
is just to really make sure that I am in a very comfortable financial place. And it's not even about like
luxury, but
just like moving in general is so expensive. So making sure I'm in a really stable and financially comfortable place before I make that move.
I love that. And like mm-hmm. the way I see it, because I, for so many years as well, was pretty reckless mm-hmm. financially. Like you, I would listen to every intuitive pull and whatever. Like the world was my oyster, but I realized in the long run that that actually allows more freedom. Like that savings, and I call it a fuck you fund and manifestation always. Like, with clients, with clients, it's like a 6 to 8 month fund that you have somewhere that's what you would be making normally, that literally allows you to say, fuck you. Like, fuck you, I hate this apartment. Fuck you, I hate this job. Like, mm-hmm. fuck you, I'm leaving this relationship. Mm-hmm. It gives you that, in what we call in the elements of manifestation, it gives you that freedom. Like, I don't have to be stuck. So in the long run, I think this offers you so much more freedom.
I think so, yeah.
It's, yeah, you can do what you want then.
Yeah.
You can say, fuck you.
It's so funny to hear you swear.
It's all my mom's fault. She spoke like a sailor. So bad. That time when you made that move, and I know you've been through, you know, I think we all have mm-hmm. those different times of those real rock bottoms or emotional rock bottoms. But that time before you left to go to Vancouver, where would you say your self-worth was at that time?
Oh, it was just on the floor. I was in an awful relationship. I was bartending. I would leave one bartending job and then I would go to another bartending job, and like putting myself through community college, and like just really had, you know, no like direction, identity. I was really recovering from a lot of trauma that had happened like a couple of years before, and my life choices in reaction to that trauma were pretty dark, I would say. But I did have like my meditation and yoga practice that I had just started at that same time. So it was pretty powerful for me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such an incredible, I think so many people get into meditation and yoga as that, as a form of starting to have not control, but a sense of grounding, a sense of routine, a sense of something to connect with yourself.
Well, I started when I was 17, and like up until that point in my life, like from 12 to 17, because I kind of had no real like structure, boundaries or rules or anything like that, I went out partying. Like I was 13 when I was in my first bars and mm-hmm. things like that.
Totally.
And so I had like a week of really strong trauma in my life where I lost two people that were really close to me, and my dog died, and my parents told me they were getting a divorce, and they were like, oh, okay, also you have to figure out where you're going to live. And it was just like, you know, one shock after the other. Then like all my friends, my superficial high school friends, stopped talking to me.
Oh, fuck them. You know? See? Yeah. It was your rock bottom, totally, for that first one. Oh, man.
And so I was like, okay, I can't keep living how I have been living. And so I stopped eating meat because it just didn't feel right for me.
Yeah.
And then I started practicing yoga. And then through yoga, I found meditation. And then that was like, okay,
yeah,
this feels right. Like
yeah.
now I'm onto something, but there was still so, it really took me like 3 years of recovering from that 1 week in
totally.
My life.
Yeah. Yeah. The full, it was like drowning. You kind of died in a way.
Yeah.
And rebirth through 3 years.
Yeah.
I love that. And for you, what was sort of the modeling that was told to you in terms of future? Because you probably, I don't know, maybe at a young age you felt in touch where you're like, I do see an end point where I will be healing and I will be teaching. Maybe mm-hmm. that was the case. Or was the modeling more like, go to school, get a job, like you just go through life and you hate it and you hate what you do? What was sort of your modeling that you witnessed and knew?
By modeling, you mean like what I saw around me?
Yeah, what the world presented was possible for you. Mine was bleak. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Never did I think I'd be doing this.
No, like, I never thought I would be sitting here with you today.
Vice versa. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I, for just to give you an example, right? Like when I opened up my yoga studio and healing center when I was 24, my dad was like, just close it down and open up a Vespa sales place.
Wow.
He's like, you're never going to make any money doing that. Like, it's just going to be a failure. And, you know, honestly, like he was just saying to me what had been told to him his whole life, which actually helped him, I think, be pretty successful in life in his own way. But he really was just like, just total failure consciousness to my brother and I big time.
Yeah.
And I think like my saving grace was being rebellious and being like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Close this down, open up a Vespa, please. I'll show you what I'm going to do, you know?
Like in Brooklyn where Vespa's a thing? Like number one? Yeah.
No.
Okay. No, I understand. That's me too always. I'd be like, oh yeah, you think that? Well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
This will work just fine.
Yeah. Let's talk in a few years.
Yeah. I'll show you where I'm at. Oh, I love that. Okay. When was the point where you, well, I think the way you channeled it after your daughter, I don't know if that's the answer, but when you found clarity on exactly what you wanted to do, this iteration of it and career, the medicine, Mama Medicine.
It's so interesting because what's now called medicine readings, I really have been practicing for like 15 years, but it didn't fully form. It didn't formulate until I held my daughter for the first time.
Wow.
And I just thought, okay, what is the one thing I want to teach her? And it's confidence, you know, like really like confidence. And, I sat down and I just asked the universe, okay, well, what, I know you want me to work with people because I keep on trying to escape it and I keep on getting pulled right back on this path, like boomeranged. What do you want me to do? And I got this very clear, you're going to do something called medicine readings. This is the exact formula for it. This is exactly like how it's all done, how it's all laid out. And it was like the minute I said yes to that, everything just started moving very quickly. Like the first day of medicine readings, what is actually called medicine readings, that I walked into the place I was renting, the New York Times was there.
Wow.
They were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, can we photograph and interview you? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, sure. And it just sort of snowballed after that.
Yeah.
And, Mama Medicine came from me sort of needing to ground a little bit more into my work and be a little bit more clear because it's all very ethereal, you know, and to be like, to explain everything that I'm saying, like these interviews and things like that, I really realized I had to be way more like
clear. Agreed.
You know,
not
out in like the 12th dimension, you know, but really here
so people could understand.
And so the mama part is just really I work with the divine feminine, like I work with feminine energy. I just do, like I think that it's what is going to help us kind of come together more and be more receptive of each other and hold each other more and understand each other and just to help kind of restore balance, you know, and take away all of the separation. So it's that. It's also that I am a mother. It's also that like a lot of my training was with ayahuasca. It's like mother consciousness. So it there's a lot going into that divine feminine energy. So that's mama. Because like everywhere all around the world, babies just naturally start to say some form of the word mama when they're calling out to the divine feminine and their archetype of it.
Yeah.
And then the medicine part is that, you know, I am here to help heal. I am. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and my medicine is, I think, a kind of specific kind. And I want to help everyone find the medicine that's within them and help them open up to how they can use it because it really is, we really all have so much medicine
us
and all we need to do is share and not be afraid to share, you know?
And that's so the most important thing is not be afraid to share.
Yeah.
Before you came out in this iteration, like the full mama medicine mm-hmm. and medicine readings, did you have hesitations or fears or not good enough? Or
oh, totally. That? Yeah. I knew everything I had experienced at such a young age was only so I could help others.
Same.
Because that, like, as a child, even I was like already like, you know, giving people aura readings.
Wow.
And like pulling stones out of the river and like giving them to people and this kind of thing.
Totally.
And every time, like, I've tried to do anything different that isn't being of service in this way, it's like I've gotten catapulted immediately back onto this path, you know? Like, for example, with bartending, I go to bartend, work there for a month, and the whole bar will close down.
You know? So everywhere you turned, it was like, nope.
Yeah. And it's like, no, like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You're not supposed to do this. So I think that with medicine readings, it kind of came from, okay, I need to teach her confidence, my daughter, and I can't hide under this umbrella of yoga because honestly, yoga doesn't feel right for me. I can't hide under this umbrella of Reiki because Reiki is not, it's just not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't hide under this umbrella of shamanism because although like I deeply love and respect all of these traditions, none of them are mine,
mm-hmm.
and none of them actually really feel like me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
So I've tried to hide under so many different titles, and even the word seeress, like, I only just use it because everybody's like, well, what are you? What
they
are you
get it,
yourself?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I see, so seeress.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I totally understand that. Like, what do you even call it? Because it's such an energetic nature, everything you're doing.
Yeah.
How did your parents deal with your gifts of being able to see auras when you were little and being able to be, you were such a sensitive child. How did they deal with that?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of, like, you're too sensitive and
all that.
But, you know, it's really interesting because I had two different lifetimes within my early life where, like, from being born till around 12 years old, it was like we had this really deep spiritual connection as a family. My dad was never around, but my mom, my brother, and I, and my dad would, like, pop in from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when I would get to spend time with him, we would just be having a good time, having a lot of fun. You know, I would go help him out at work, and like he had his own business too. He's like mm-hmm. a mechanic.
Wow.
So I would go like help him file papers and just loved it. And like with my mom, I was raised Baptist, and then also my grandfather was Native American. So she actually had like a really strong understanding of like spiritual mm-hmm. energy in her own way. And she grew up in a haunted house, like she knew that there was spiritual energy. But when I was 12, the family dynamic shifted a lot. She started drinking. I think that that's actually like a really sad thing that happens a lot with like that Native American energy around where I grew up. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like, you know, we idealize it a lot, but it becomes like a little bit of an issue around the reservations
where
I grew up.
Absolutely.
And so her blood, I think, just cannot handle alcohol at all.
Yeah.
And so she would just start drinking. She became very scary. And from 12 to 16, it was like this whole other dynamic where it was like the house was not safe. The house also became like a party house. It was unsafe in many different ways,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So in a way, I feel like from birth till around 12 years old, it was actually very supported.
And magical, yeah.
Yeah. And then, yes, of course, I was, like, told I was too sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
I was crying all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally, yeah.
I understand them, you know?
Yeah,
and then,
and not having the tools, too. That was probably so overwhelming for them.
You know? Yeah. Like, pray more or something like that. Like, when I was 8 years old, I demanded to be baptized. Like, I was, like, demanded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I needed something to, like, you know, bless me.
Yeah.
And I saw, and in that religion, you don't get baptized till you're, like, 30.
Really?
Yeah. You, when you really have, like, sins to wash away. And when I was 8, I was like, I need to be baptized. I told my pastor, he was like, no.
Yeah.
You're too young.
Wow, and you already felt it, that heavy.
Yeah,
wow.
And then, like, right after that is when they found the tumor that I told you about before that was on my ovary,
fallopian
tube.
That was that young?
Yeah, at 8.
Already it accumulated all that energy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, 8 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but first I was like, baptize me.
Before, like, no. Before the, yeah. Wow.
Before we found out, I just like kept on asking the pastor at my church until he finally was like, all right.
You were asking for medicine.
Yeah.
It was literally that. You needed
I needed the water, you know?
Oh my gosh, how powerful.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. But yeah, I agree. Everything you went through is... it's exactly what makes you do this. It's amazing. And what about when could you tell that you could see auras?
I couldn't remember not seeing auras ever. I was just thinking recently, I wonder, like, I fell and when I was 5 and I got a concussion and really hit my head hard. I wonder if that's when I started seeing them.
Interesting.
Because I don't remember a time where I didn't see colors around people.
Wow.
But when I was 12, I was talking to my friends about like the colors and shapes that I saw around people and what they meant, and they just were like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean?
Wow. And
that's when I learned that there was something called the aura and the different colors had different meanings. Then I sat with it for a long time. I didn't tell anyone.
I was going to say, yeah, because it probably wasn't normal.
Especially after that, like, preteen horror moment.
Totally.
And then only when I started offering medicine readings did I tell people what I was actually doing was seeing their aura.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to really, like, come clean, too, and
explain
to people what I was doing.
So it was kind of shadowy for you.
Yeah, big time. Also because, like, it sounds so, like...
I know what you mean.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Totally. You know? All the things. I get it. I totally get it. Okay, I love that. What's the biggest shadow aspect you've had to integrate in your life?
If I could sum it all up into one word, I think it would be shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the big one.
I think that I carry a lot, like, ancestrally, like, through both lines, and then the manifestation of that in this lifetime, and also embodying a female form in this lifetime. So I feel like shame has been the biggest thing. And then the actions that I've taken from a place of shame.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the root of all the shadows and all the blocks and things is the shame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's such a great answer. Biggest inner child shift you've needed to make or that you've made?
I didn't start really even looking at my inner child. Like, I knew the words inner child, you know, but I didn't start even really looking at it until I had my own child. And I think the biggest one, it's sort of in alignment with that, Shane, but it's like self-acceptance, especially around the sensitivity.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, going back and telling her, like, it's okay that you're so sensitive. Like,
absolutely.
This is going to be your superpower one day. You know? Like, it's okay that you're so sensitive.
Amazing. And so you still work with her on that when it comes up for you. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You already seem like the best mom. Like, you totally... You've totally broken the karma, the chains.
I hope so.
What's the most humbling thing you've ever experienced?
Ooh, having to close down my yoga studio and healing center. So I opened it when I was 24 and I closed it when I was 29.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the hardest things that I ever did, because it wasn't just saying goodbye to the physical space that I had poured all of my love and energy into. It was also like this feeling of having to like break apart the community that had built up there that was so beautiful. So I think that it was good for me in a way because it really taught me what I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was also very, very hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what was your personal inner struggle you were going with, like about yourself that you might be, if there was shame that was coming up or failure?
Well, it's like all that, like proving my dad right.
Yeah. Damn it. Yes.
Damn it.
Totally. But now you have your second chance.
But what was the purpose behind me working those 12 hour days, 6 days a week? That was really ego, actually. You know, even though I was doing this like labor of love, that was really ego, actually. Mm-hmm. I had so much to prove.
Yeah.
I had so much to prove to myself, maybe to my father, maybe to the world.
Maybe to high school. Who knows?
Yeah. High school. Yeah. Also, like I started in this spiritual life at a very young age,
mm-hmm.
and I could see so much and people like, oh, that's like, now that I'm finally getting like a little bit of like wrinkles, things like this, I'm like,
phew. They're like, now she's wise or
yeah,
something.
Because
yeah, taking
otherwise,
you
like, you're too young. You're too young. What do you know? You're too young. You're too young. You're too young. And if I look back on that time, wow, I had so much to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that like massive dose of humility and the necessity to let everything go. And it was good for me, actually.
Oh, it's just magic when that happens.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've faced that finally? Like there's nothing about it that rules you anymore? And who has?
I don't know. Like facing it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not afraid to look at it. It's actually navigated a lot of my business decisions now.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like personal decisions, how I want to live my life, how much structure I actually need in
mm-hmm.
order to feel free with my time and things like that.
Absolutely.
But I think there's always layers of stuff to work on.
I do too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm still always going through it. I talk about that in Authentic, the new things we just, that's like my big one. I'm really working through. And
like, when are you ever done working on?
When you, maybe not even when you die.
Yeah.
Next lifetime.
Yeah. Really.
I definitely think this isn't the last time I'm incarnated.
Yeah.
So that's such a good question on that. When are you ever done? And especially when we're in the physical form on the physical plane and the human experience, when are we done, you know?
Yeah.
Alma's got it figured out. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think she's incarnating again, though. It seems like she's got it figured out.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child, and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
When did you, and maybe this kind of ties into what we were just saying, but I think for so many entrepreneurs and especially people in this space, which can be considered still so fringe or taboo, you know, there's even sometimes more uphill battling that we have to do. When was the point where you kind of had that thing like, no, I'm a badass, I'm worth this. I can come out and be myself and really do what I'm supposed to be doing, my gifts. Did you ever have a point where you had that moment?
Yeah, it was right when I started medicine readings. I was like, I am just going to do what feels right for me. This is who I am. This is what I have to offer. This is my path that I'm walking. And though it may be on the fringe and things like that, like, it's not about trying to then protect the fringe. It's like, how do you get the fringe to be more mainstream?
That's how I feel. Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like, yeah. I, you know, a lot of people in, like, the wellness and spiritual communities who have been in them for a long time, they're like, oh, it's all so mainstream now. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
That's great. That's how I,
like,
feel, too.
I, you know, I have a lot of people who will try and rip off my work. I'm
sure you have
the same thing,
non-stop,
too.
Nonstop, yeah.
And then, like, they'll rip me off. I'll post something, then they'll post the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, try to use different formations of my name or things
totally,
like that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm like, okay, but they're
good luck.
Actually
yeah.
just like, they're just trying to spread more love and light
yeah.
out there in the world. So, like, awesome.
Totally.
You know?
It is, yeah.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
Then it's like, whoa.
At some point. I mean, I've had it, like, and I'm sure you've had it too,
oh, yeah.
where it's been like, dot and dot, like, same, like, website.
Same, like, colors, at, like,
everything. Yeah. Hats and the phone, like, all the things.
Everything.
But I, like, I guess just like you, that happened to us earlier this year, and
mm-hmm.
for one of the first times, it was like, okay, cool. You know, it was beautiful to have that. And I think it was coming from a little bit of the same space as you,
mm-hmm.
Where it was more like, it's more accepted in the world. That's great. B, obviously nobody will ever be able to replicate what I do, nor will they with
you. They're not you.
Being very specific. And like you said, you're not using a lot of different terminology or medicines because they weren't yours. What you are doing is very much yours. It's channeling through you. It's the gifts you were born with.
Yeah.
But I do, like, when I would see, you know, like Amanda Chantel Bacon's such a great example of this. And I did her social media for just a little while when, you know, when she opened up the second store. And I always loved that, to see how widely that was spreading so quickly, and to go like, yeah, the world's really ready for all of this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are these other people stepping into this, incarnating into this, who can really take it all the way, so that everybody can have access to this. And I think that's why things like the online programs and, you know,
yeah.
the one I want to get into that you have right now,
yeah.
it's so that it can be accessible, that we can get back to ourselves, yours in particular, of how to become our own healer, and then how we can show up in the world as healers through ourselves and have that medicine just running through us in ways. I just think it's so special and so magical. So
it's so important. Like, I hope it grows so much we get to a place with our whole human family that we're just in total self-acceptance, you know?
The dream.
Yeah.
How many centuries do you think that is from now?
I think we have a while to go.
I know. Okay. Today, what would be the words that you would tell your lowest self?
You are in such a powerful place of medicine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, focus on the wisdom that you're gaining
from this time and experience.
Yeah.
Yes. From someone who watches manifestation all the time, there is no, like, more powerful place to be than rock bottoms,
mm-hmm.
ever. They're literally, if you really want to use the word alchemy sort of correctly, we're minerals, so I guess that works. Like,
yeah.
that is the time when you can alchemize and create alchemy. So
yeah.
I love that. The limiting belief you picked up that you're still working through today.
Wow.
That's a big one.
So tough.
You
did this because of me.
Mm.
This one, I feel like that's resulted in me kind of giving credit away all the time instead of taking it for myself. And actually, in the first year of opening up space, I noticed myself starting to do that again. Like, oh no, I don't want this. Like, this credit here, you take it, you know?
It's too much, or I'm not worth it, and all of that. So you're learning how to own it more and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. What does that look like for you, for the person who isn't able to accept that fully?
Yeah, I think it looks a little bit more like still staying as receptive as possible, but then at the same time, really honoring that I have a strong yes and a strong no about different things. And if I'm creating a community or holding a space for a community with space, or like putting something out there into the world on Instagram or whatever it is, that I have a really strong yes and a really strong no about what I need that to look like, instead of just being like,
whatever,
it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all good. Yeah, you know, totally. Like actually being like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. I'm getting a no about it, so I'm listening to that, you know?
For you, how do you, because you are so lovely and so sweet, how do you honor your no's in a very feminine and beautiful way?
I am sweet, but I also have like zero problem with confrontation.
That's awesome. I have like 100% problem with it.
Yeah, like you, like if you would ask the construction workers who put out my space, if they thought I was sweet, they would probably have a different
version. Can you
of
come
that
with
story.
Me to the house we're getting? Because I'm like, sure, send me the estimate in
I'm
4
like,
weeks.
No, I've done this before. I know what you're doing. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's incredible.
No, I'm really, because people tell me all the time, oh, you seem so peaceful and you seem so calm. And I'm like, yeah, but it's also because I know that if there's like an issue I have to address or something I have to say to somebody, I'm not going to have any problem saying it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like my husband would wish I would be a little less confrontational sometimes.
That Scorpio energy is so lucky.
It's total Scorpio energy. But at the same time, with confrontations, it's never like angry or yelling. Mm-hmm. Like I never raise my voice. I never have to do that. I just really will, in a very loving way, confront whoever I need to, whenever I need to.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, so lucky. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to give you two of them. The two most kismet things you've ever manifested.
Kismet.
Yeah. Just like, wow, look at it. I wanted that. I had that intention and whoa, it came better than I feel like I know this one too. I feel like it's one and one came with
one
two.
And two. Yeah. Definitely my husband. It's our anniversary tomorrow, so I'm super excited about that. Like we've been together now for 7 years.
Wow.
So it feels like really good. And my daughter.
Oh my God. Can we share, maybe it's too personal, the thing he said to you within a week of knowing you? I think it's the most romantic
thing. He'll kill
thing.
Me. But yeah.
Maybe he'll never see it. I don't know.
Maybe he won't see it.
I just think it's like the biggest expansion for anyone out there who's like, is love not possible for me or any, you know?
You know, I want to say, can I give the
abbreviated
version of
this? Yes,
yes. Just because it's, you know, right when I really didn't believe in love relationships anymore. Like I promised myself I was going to go and just be a monk.
Monk, yeah.
You know?
Celibate, yeah.
Yeah, totally celibate. Just go and take my dogs and live in the woods and not deal with men ever.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
And then in walks, like, into my apartment. Like, 2 weeks after I made that commitment to myself, in walks, like, the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life. He then proceeds to write me this beautiful poem with things in it that nobody could have ever known about me. Mm. And then he asked me out to lunch. He turns to me and he goes, I will never be with anyone ever in my life. I'm going to marry you one day.
Oh, I can't. It's amazing.
He was like actually in this process of traveling around the world. Mm. No, he didn't want to sleep with anyone until he met the woman he was going to marry.
Wow.
He was only 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
And then 8 months later, we were pregnant with our daughter.
Which was also kind of a miracle in itself.
Which was also a total miracle because of the tumor I had that crushed one ovary and one fallopian tube. I had fibroids crushing my other ovary. And the doctors were like, you're just not going to be able to have a baby naturally. And I just kind of like came to terms with that and accepted that. But because everything with Herman was so intense in the beginning and he was just so open and he was just so loving and he was just giving so much.
Medicine.
I almost didn't trust him.
Yeah. You're like, are you going to steal Ariel?
Like, what is your what's deal? Going on here?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to try to own me?
Yes.
Like, what is this? And so I went to the Amazon because that was just where I sorted things out for myself. And while I was down there, my teacher gave me these plants to drink. And he was like, I just really feel like you need these. Do you want to have a child one day? And I told him what happened. And he was like, this is for you. I drank the plants. And then immediately, as soon as we had sex and I got back, I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she is. And I think both of yours, I haven't gotten to meet him yet, but she is your soulmate. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys are the one of the best pairs I've ever seen for mother and daughter.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. I was dreaming about her for about 5 years
wow.
before I actually got to hold her.
Wow.
Like, I would see her beautiful blue eyes, and, like, I saw, like...
Her little unibrow.
Yeah, she
this
has,
is
like,
so beautiful.
You know, she has, like, the owl eyes.
Yes, they're so...
Know?
They're like Frida. They're
yeah.
so stunning. I know, I look... I'm like, God, I hope she doesn't do anything to those one day.
Don't ever
change
don't
those, touch please. Them. They're so pretty. It's, like, the dream I wish I could get some back over
yeah.
here again. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so special. Okay, tell us a little bit, too, about... Well, I want to go into the online program because I really
yeah.
think everybody can benefit from that. And I know so many people are tuning in that don't have access to New York, who, of course, can do Skype sessions anytime with you. But I do think there is so much alchemy, with lack of a better word, that can happen when you're walking yourself through these programs as well. And I think it's so special because I've had the chance to check out one of them. What can you say for the person who is tuning in, who is looking to find their own tools to heal more, find the healer within, tune into their gifts more? What can you say about that in the program?
I really, with BYOH, which stands for Be Your Own Healer, I really just wanted to create something to give you that can really help to empower you to do your own healing work. Like, really just even placing your hands on your body and you're giving yourself a healing session. And
wow.
I feel like we need to know and understand that. And, like, nobody knows our shit better than us.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, actually, we can only be our own healer.
At the end of the
day.
When
you come for medicine readings, I am only saying out loud to you the things that you have already been feeling, and I'm just sort of, like, reaffirming those feelings so you walk out and feel empowered on your path to be your own healer.
I love that.
You know? And so it's like, okay, if you, maybe you're not in New York, or you can't afford to do a Skype medicine reading or something like that, here's BYOH, here's a program. And I only create the BYOHs, like, each episode. I only create each episode when I really feel like something is coming through that can help you to be your own healer.
I love that. So it's a full channeling.
Yeah, it's a full channeling. It's
medicine.
Like, I can't say it's going to be on each full moon or
something. Yeah.
I can't promise any of that because it can only come through when it's, like, really... this is what you need to know.
That's how I am too with the programs. There have been a couple of times, like with Unblocked this year, where it's like, we'll do, and it just has to channel through
mm-hmm.
properly. So I love that. And there's so much integrity in that and the work. And tell us about the baths. And if you don't follow, and you can go watch so much more on the auras and everything and support it, because we really went deep into the auras and how to ground yourself and all that stuff. So I'm not going to dig too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody follows Deborah on Instagram, or if you don't follow, it's at Mama Medicine NYC, or at just Mama
just
Medicine.
Mama Medicine.
Mama Medicine.
My website is Mama Medicine.
That's
NYC.
Why. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like trolling you. Like, stop. But she gives these prescriptions of really incredibly healing baths. I always tune into them on the full and new moon, but it
yeah.
seems like you do them once a week.
Yeah, like once a week. That's like the ritual baths that I post on my Instagram, it's like my seva.
Yeah.
You know, my selfless service, my gift. Like, here you go. Like, I feel like this is what we need this week. That's what we need this week. And just the bath is such a powerful way for you to really be your own healer. Even if you're just clicking through my Instagram, you can scroll all the way back to the beginning because I've been posting
wow.
ritual baths since, like, 2014.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you have bath, like, actual bath prescriptions that are coming out.
Yeah.
Because that's where I do all of my deep work. Like, I do my own DIs, deep mm-hmm. imaginings in there. It's where I go 3 or 4 times a week to literally like detoxify. It baths to me are pure medicine. So the fact that I'll be able to just access, will people be able to just order them offline as well? Mm-hmm. Like if I want them in LA, tell us about that. I can't wait for those to come out.
I don't want to give too much about it away, but yes, you will be able to order a very special kit.
Okay.
And also, I will be offering bath consultations.
Oh, fantastic. That's what you meant by them.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can really customize for people. Oh my gosh. It's going to be such a important part of taking the work deeper and the healing deeper.
I'm so excited. Also, like, I feel like you really love Paris, too.
I do love Paris. Yeah. I find New York to be more romantic, weirdly. To me, I see New York
as
like...
New York is so romantic.
It is. It's like one big Scorsese film.
My whole love story happened in New York.
See? Like so forever.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel that way. I'm like in a Woody Allen film at all times, or a Scorsese film, especially in the summer. I feel like
I'm totally,
it's Taxi, like right here. But go ahead. So Paris.
I'm changing things around design-wise a little bit mm-hmm. at Space 2 because Britta got her own space. She's growing immensely. I'm so happy for her. And also, I needed to have that space to be able to do what I want to do. And so I'm going to have like a little kind of apothecary and library in there where you, after your medicine reading, you can come and sit down and get a whole bath consultation.
Wow.
This will probably be ready towards the end of August.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So, right, this will be coming out-ish, like right around the perfect time.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you guys are getting to see it very early.
Yeah. Top secret.
Top secret. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. But when it comes out, tell everybody. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So the last few questions I have for you is, what would you tell... I see this all the time in our Facebook group. I mean, I just see it constantly. The person who really is so ready to jump into the career they want or leave the job they hate. But obviously, we all have the different fears and programming, the reasons that keep us. What would you tell that person who is just having the hardest time actually making that leap and actually following their true download and passion?
I think that you really have to just have so much courage.
Truly.
And just be so brave and like understand that when something keeps on showing up for you again and again and again, that's a calling.
Totally.
You know, and then like you can trust the calling completely, but you can still stay in your life and things that limit you.
Absolutely.
You know?
It can be such a purgatory.
Yeah. Like this place where I am now to be able to sit with you here today in like this beautiful space to be able to offer this time for people. This has just taken so much courage.
Absolutely.
And like not, you know, being afraid to be seen. Cause honestly, like I do prefer hiding under my Scorpio rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like it's like I have to keep reminding myself, be brave, be brave, be brave. Every time there's like a new layer of something that I know is holding me back that I'm being shown. It takes courage to let it go. Recently for me, it's been coffee.
Coffee, wow. Yeah. Oh, like, good for you. That's the one of the hardest.
So hard.
I can't. I mean, I'm so grateful I never got into it. I don't know why.
You're
I'm a freak
so
of
lucky.
Nature.
Yeah. You're so lucky.
I see it. It rules my fiance and so many people in the world. He literally cannot get going in the day without it.
Yeah. I mean, I just, for me, it was like, I looked at it and I went, okay, this is just causing me a lot of anxiety, isn't it?
I bet. Oh my god, it like especially with hormones and stuff of estrogen, you're like,
wow.
Yeah.
Like I do not need to be more amped
stimulated.
Up.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You know?
I get you.
Like
at
what point are we too energetic?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. And Deborah is a generator, for anyone wondering.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the community is so into human design.
Yeah, I'm human design, I'm a generator. So I just let that go. Like, honestly, it was so easy to let it go, but it took so much courage and so much bravery to really look at coffee and go, I mean, I love you, but you're just so bad for me.
I gotta break up with you.
You're just so bad for me.
How do you build up? Do you have a process of building your courage? For me, for example, when I'm about to, anything in my life that's going to be a big transition or namely putting out a new project, now I have wonderful people with me who are far more talented than I am, who make it happen a lot faster. But way before then, I would simmer for like a year and it would be like perfecting. And then one day I would just catapult and do, but it would take me like a year of a lead up. Do you feel that you have a pattern and a process?
Oh, definitely. It takes me I view it to like the birth of the butterfly. Mm. Like there's that larva phase, the like idea phase, and then you slowly start to build into that idea. Well, okay, if I'm going to do this, then maybe it'll look like that, and you know you become the caterpillar, and then you have to make a decision.
Mm.
You know, do I stay in this caterpillar phase, in this idea phase, or do I go into the chrysalis, into the unknown?
And that does sound scary.
You know, like I don't know what I'm going to become. I don't know what it's going to look like. But that decision point is, because I do think I still have a lot of things that are up in idea realm that haven't actually made it through to that chrysalis point.
Yeah.
And then the chrysalis breaks open, butterfly is born, idea is out into the world, but it takes courage then to even break out of the chrysalis.
It takes,
you know?
So that's like the real courage. Well, both are pretty.
I have to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to be seen. Like, I'm so pretty now as a butterfly.
Yeah, everybody's going to see me. People are going to try to catch me.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Like, I'm vulnerable, I'm delicate.
Yeah.
But then out you go, you know? Because you just have to trust the expansion that wants to come to you. You just have to trust, like, this just feels like the right thing to do, and I know it's scary, but I have to break through this chrysalis and start to fly.
I love that. Was the perfect way to put that. Do I call that an analogy or a metaphor? Analogy. Jesus, you can see where my
it's a metaphor. No,
metaphor probably.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Who
you're
cares?
Giving me grammar.
Yeah. I never get it.
I'm here to talk
terrible.
About recipes.
Another question I'm curious about, what, or maybe it's just right now, what are you finding showing up in your practice the most right now that you feel a message that could benefit everybody in this current state?
This actually touches on the next BYOH that I'm about to launch too. I was actually very inspired by what people were coming in with medicine readings. And it's all about like live your truth, which I guess touches back on that courage thing.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. And what does that look like to you? Or how does that show up to you when you see someone who's so afraid to really be themselves or live their truth? How does that show up in their aura, in their energy? And then what's the transformation you see when they walk into their truth?
Oh, it's
a lot.
It's beautiful things, you know. But I think that when someone is on parallel to their truth or not really walking their truth, it's like, energetically, to me, it looks like something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in where their dreams come in from, where they're dreaming from, it's like it's all so like open and clear, and there's all these bright colors and beautiful lights. And then it's like, where is that part of your aura? Where's the rest of your aura? Like,
really?
Like, what's going on there? And then I'll see, well, where is it within their auric field? Is it in their relationships? Is it in their work? You know, is it in like where they're living, these kinds of things? And I'll tell them like, what is going on with your apartment right now? Like what's going on with your relationship? Like, this is what we need to talk about in order to get you more in alignment with your truth. And I think like for me, I try not to really tell people to make huge life changes. Like, I want them to really come to it on their own.
Absolutely.
But I'll definitely like be able to see this major life change that they need to make and ask the triggering questions to like get them to that place. And it might not come in for them in the medicine reading, but it's going to come in for them
after,
within the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And once they do actually step into that or make that transformation or leave the thing,
it's like, you just look so beautiful. You just look so beautiful.
Wow.
You know, like, just someone very close to me just went through this massive thing where she knows what she's been meant to do for a very long time and has been terrified of doing it. And just like, I met for her with dinner a couple weeks ago, and she was like, that's it. I decided I'm quitting my job. I'm going to do, wow. going to move forward on my path. And like, she went from looking so sort of like sheltered and like hidden to just so beautiful, just so wow. open and so beautiful, right. you know, and everything like magnetic looking and like shining yeah. and like, I don't know, like, of course you can create whatever you want to. Look at how beautiful you are.
Wow.
You
know? I love that.
Yeah.
What for you, because that all bleeds into manifestation a little bit, because you're so versed in that. I mean, so many people come to you literally to figure out their blocks or mm-hmm. to work through their blocks, and then you do the full medicine on them, the mm-hmm. full reading where you help them work through that. When you see someone blocked, you know, for instance, which it might have been what you just touched on, it's like something feels like it's missing. And that's probably actually going to be in your wonderful workshop. But what are just a couple of like everyday things somebody can do within your opinion of your work, or maybe one tip that they can do to help to unblock a little bit more daily?
It's so hard to give like one
general,
you know, one, but I feel like one thing that could not hurt at all if we're just speaking about the aura is clearing the aura out with a selenite wand. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's like, it's actually the ritual itself and having that one thing that you do every day that helps you to just feel clearer. And also the selenite is salt, so you're touching salt, you're waving it around, you're clearing yourself out.
Wow. You know what's funny, just like to speak personal for a moment, mm-hmm. I do it every day since like meeting with you. I do it every day. And but what really helps me feel it, and it might just be mental or energetic, or maybe I'm actually doing something to my aura, is I jump for joy, and I like, it's just an intuitive thing.
I
push out while I'm like thinking and so grateful, and I push out.
Yeah.
I don't know why I push out. Yeah. It's to extend my aura. Like,
yeah. You're extending your aura.
Yeah. That must be it. But that's where I really feel like, okay, cool. We're ready for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fascinating
one. I love that. I'm going to start doing that.
I do it literally naked in front of my Even my fiance will be like, are you jumping for joy in there? And I'll be mortified. It's a total thing I do all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I started it years ago. It's like intuitive.
That's awesome. I love that.
So if you need a new thing up your sleeve,
yeah.
There you go.
It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And is there any last thing that you would love to share that we can share about a message you have or anything? Also in the studio, what's coming up? Because this crew, I would like them to know as well, because you have some great stuff coming up throughout the summer and fall.
Yeah. I mean, one message I want to share is that I really honor being able to be a powerful mirror to you of whatever it is that you see in me. Mm-hmm. And for everyone out there, I'm really, really honoring this place and really grateful for it. And also because of that, always have more to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up, expect a book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When do we expect that? I'm like on the edge of my seat.
I can't really say yet because we're still in like the editing place, but expect a book. And also more of BYOH, more episodes of Be Your Own Healer, and come to space. If you're in New York, if you're ever visiting New York, come to space, come to a sharing circle, come to a moon ceremony, come to a medicine reading ceremony,
which I got to experience. That was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like being with you. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But it was just getting to share that with so many other people, or like 14 other people.
Yeah.
It was magical.
But it's like, you know, sometimes individual work is important. Sometimes it's nice to see that you're not alone on this path.
Yeah.
You know? And then I hope to see you in July 2019 in Italy.
Yes!
I hope you can come.
What does that look like for the people coming? Because I know I've asked that before and I get to see, but what actually happens at those
retreats?
It's
a whole medicine reading retreat, so I get 5 days to be able to really go, like, really work deeply with
wow.
you. So you come in the first day, we do silence to just clear our energy. And then we go into each one of the healing elements, each one of the earthly elements, mm-hmm. earth, wind, water, fire, mm-hmm. and work with using them to heal within ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And each, you know, each year is very different. Like I wait until everyone has signed up for the retreat. The retreat is full before I open up to channeling what exactly could be on the retreat.
So you get the individual, kind of the collective individual yeah. for the experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. Have you opened up the registry for it yet?
Yes.
Wow.
That's online now.
So people yeah. can go. And where do we find that on the website?
It's just under retreat.
Retreat. Yeah. Done and done. Easy.
Very easy.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. And everyone, don't miss support it as well. You know, there's a lot of information to find in there. And go and get a session. I've had two. And I've gotten to do the group reading as well, mm-hmm. the ceremony. It's not what it's called, ceremonies.
Yeah, medicine reading ceremony. Medicine reading.
Yeah, and they're so, so healing. And you learn so much about your aura. I particularly went in to kind of communicate with the baby to bring it through, and both have been so useful and so helpful. So that I knew too that babies sit in the aura. So that was the main first reason why I wanted to see you. Because
yeah.
I was like, is there one in mine?
Yeah.
Because it's sure taken a while.
Yeah.
So those were so powerful. So thank you for everything.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is the Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, the Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.